Man, what a great morning to be here to worship and to sing and to open God's word, and right after a week of eating all kinds of food. Isn't that great? We had to come worship God with full bellies from this week. So if you're like me, I ate a ton of food this week. Probably shouldn't have, but I ate plenty of leftovers. Can I get a raise of hands if you ate plenty of leftovers in the room? Yes, so you're all on board with me. It was a great week. A thankful week. It was very good to be with family. So I hope you enjoyed your family coming in town, and you may be thankful that they went home. But some may not. But, you know, it is what it is. Today we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 through 10, if you want to kind of turn there, and we'll get to that in just a second. Today we're going to look at how to live a life of faithfulness for Christ. How to live a life of faithfulness for Christ. So whenever we ask that, this often brings up questions on, like, how are we going to do this? You know, what's the procedure here? How do I live a life of faithfulness for Christ? So it comes with questions. You know, we all have questions, and the questions all may be different. So today, we're going to tackle some really big questions. Okay, you ready? The questions are, will humans ever fly? Is there a hack to decrease wait times? I wish. Why is pizza so good? And will you ever be able to eat bacon and not count the calories? I can answer that one for you now. Yes, you can. I do it all the time. I do not count the calories. So all kidding aside, let me ask you this question. What's something you wish you knew? What is something you wish you knew? Hopefully that question sparks your imagination and makes you begin to think. Because do you remember as a kid that we were very imaginative and we wanted to be all kinds of things, astronauts, princesses, police officers, nurses, doctors, you know, heroes, whatever it may be. As kids, our brains could let us be anything. And we were anything as kids. So our brains are amazing imaginative things. They allow us to wonder, get curious, and think critically. But sometimes our brains get a little stuck and confused when they're under pressure, don't they? This is right where we're going to be at in our passage today, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. So if you would, read along with me. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So this text is set in a context of believers facing uncertainty and hardship. It comes right after verse 7, where we hit on the heavy topic of anxiety. When we are worried, we are more likely to be tempted and to question the goodness and faithfulness of God. Isn't that true? Whenever life gets hard, we begin to question everything that God has told us in the Bible. When trials come, they can cause a crisis of faith, which can lead us down a path of temptation and sinful regret. We get this pressure from life when all these questions and expectations arise, and we face severe anxiety. Just as Pastor Jason discussed last week, you know, it's easy to go through life and just, you know, let the world attack us at all different angles and the pressure of everything get to us. And we just have this immense anxiety and, you know, we call it depression. And we just feel like we're out on this island all by ourselves. But that's really us pushing God away, because God has never left. He's right there by our side the entire time. So we can learn just like Peter did. He was a man that was greatly used by God to launch the church in the New Testament. But Peter had to learn quite a few lessons to get there. So let me ask the question again. What's something you wish you knew? Do you wish you knew how to live for Christ and stand firm in your faith? I hope so. Well, this passage lays out three ways to live for Christ. This is something we can apply today, an answer that Scripture gives us to hurting and broken people like we are. Verse 8 gives us the first of three answers on how to live for Christ. we are to live carefully. Live carefully. This verse starts off with be sober-minded, be watchful. Be sober-minded means the opposite of intoxication. It is anything that deadens our conscience or reason. Be watchful means to be awake, alert, or suspicious of constant danger. Now I know like we're getting into this and you're like, oh boy, here comes the overbearing, you know, parent speech that we've probably all of us have given to our kids. You know, don't jump on the bed, don't run with the scissors, don't cuss, don't hang out with the wrong crowd. Be careful now. But that's not where we're going with this. This passage deals with our spiritual awareness through hardship and how we get through those things. When we are facing hardship, difficulty, or suffering, we must be on high alert because that is when Satan begins to attack us. That is when we are vulnerable. So keep your eyes open and your head up, for the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That someone could be you. Now, I'm definitely not someone that thinks the devil is just, you know, out to get everybody and everything in life is going wrong because, you know, the devil, it's all his fault. You know, a lot of times it's our wrongdoing and our mistakes that get us to where we are. But this verse does say that the devil is prowling around seeking someone to devour. And so we have to be watchful and mindful of the things that we do so the devil can't take a foothold and bring us down because of the things that are going on in our life. 1 Peter 1:5, we are encouraged that we who by God's power are being guarded through faith, are being guarded through faith. Hebrews 11:1 goes on to define faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We may not know or understand why we are going through certain things in life, but we have to know that God is still there for us. Just like if anybody in the room that has kids, just like whenever a toddler or a kid falls and they reach out their hand and say, help me, we never left. They got further away. God is still there ready to pull us up. We just have to be willing to reach out and ask God to save us. The next way to live for Christ is to live combatively. Live combatively. As we discussed earlier, kids have the best imaginations. Some kids dream of being police officers or G.I. Joes in the army. You know, these types of characters tend to be your defenders and warriors. And so as your kids most likely have, or to call myself out, like I recently have, I've had to take up Nerf gear and defend myself recently against some students that wanted to attack me with Nerf swords and guns. I had to stand firm and know in my abilities on how hard I could hit those kids. I began to think combatively in that moment. In the same way, Peter calls us to resist the temptations of the devil and be firm in the faith. Faith comes from the word of God. Whatever the situation may be, God has the ability to give strength, give comfort, and give rest. Let me say that again. God has the ability to give strength, give comfort, and give rest. Rest is kind of hard to do for a lot of us, isn't it? Whoever or whatever we are battling, teens with Nerf gear or a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, God is still there. God is faithful. We can rely on God. The only way to move forward is by faith. We move forward by obedience and confidence in the written word of God. Do we ever give the Bible the authority that it deserves, the written word of God? This gives us every answer to life if we truly follow it and pray to God and live it out every day. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is our greatest and most powerful resource of hope. I hope you understand that today. Struggling as a believer is a natural part of life, but how we handle that struggle shows if we're doing it in a manner of defeat or in a manner of combativeness. Are we living a life of defeat or are we living a life worthy of Christ? The last piece to live for Christ is to live confidently. This last verse is a little hard to swallow as it clearly starts out saying, after you have suffered a little while. after you have suffered a little while. Nobody wants to hear from anybody about any kind of suffering that we're going to go through in life. Whatever it is, small or large, we don't want to hear about the suffering in our life. And so I asked myself this the other day, what would life look like if we did not have to suffer? I couldn't really think of that because, you know, there's so much that goes on in our personal lives and in our life as humanity that there's not really a time that humankind has not really suffered. Recently, my future sister-in-law's mother was at her 16-year-old son's football game in the parking lot, passed out, went to the hospital, had a severe brain bleed. Yesterday, I went to her funeral. A few weeks ago, I get a call from my mother. My grandma has stage 4 lung cancer that is continuing to spread. You know, she may not be here in the near future. I don't know what that's going to look like and how her journey is going to be over the next months or years with chemo. Life is tough in those moments because we all have those moments, whatever they are. We can all relate to those stories. We can all see the things in our life that have gone wrong and we're like, God, why? We can all relate. And we all know that those situations are tough and are very hard. But God, listen to this, but God has already conquered the hurt, the pain, and the brokenness of this world through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We can live confidently because God promises to intervene when he has done testing and strengthening our faith. Everything we face is for the glory of God and our good. We may not ever understand or see how God is working in those areas of our life, but we have to realize and understand that God is still there. God is there for us. We can all agree that God is good when life is good, but when our circumstances change, don't we say, oh, God left me? But it's really us running away from God. God never left. He is unchangeable and remains constant. All our pain will end one day because this world we live in is dying. We are dying. God is going to call us home one day, and until that time comes, are we living a life that declares Christ as our King? Are we living a life today that declares Christ as our King? Looking back in 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7, it says that you have been grieved by various trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter calls us to live for eternity by reminding us that God is at work in your difficulty to grow your faith. We may not realize it or understand it, but we go through those things in life so that we can grow closer to God. In fact, Peter closes this epistle with the same way he began it, by reminding us that God, by his grace, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. God's going to restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you if you let him. That's the key right there, if you let him. You know, a lot of times we get in our way, we get in our heads, we push God out, and we say, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. I've talked about this all kinds of times recently in student ministry about, you know, we feel like we can get through life and we can do it on our own. You know what? Just put it on my back. I'll carry it. I got this. But a lot of times we don't say, you know what? God, this is yours. Let me get through this with you. It's a lot easier if we're getting through the hurts and the pains of life relying on God. And then on top of that, if we're doing the same thing, relying on God and relying on other fellow believers in this room, it gets immensely easier. Peter knew what it was to waver and struggle. He knew what it was to fail God. He knew what it felt like to be unsettled because he lacked faith in the promises of God. We've all been there. He knew exactly what it meant to allow his doubt about the promises of God to get the best of him. He also knew the grace of God and the restoration he offers. He knew the hope and promise of God to heal, restore, strengthen, and establish those who genuinely follow and obey him. Instead of living in doubt, move forward in confidence. Doubt or sin will cause you to live for the moment, and the momentary cannot comfort your soul. Let me read that again so you can write it down. Doubt or sin will cause you to live for the moment, and the momentary cannot comfort your soul. Only God can comfort your soul. Living a life of faithfulness for Christ is the only way we fulfill God's calling on your life. A lot of times we know how we should act and respond to situations, but our heart is in the wrong place. You know, I'm great at that. I can put on the face, I can do the work, and I can get through stuff, but inward in my heart, I know that I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm anxious. Whatever it is that I'm dealing with, you know, I can do the work, but inside I'm broken. And that's what many of us are at a lot of times, and we have to realize that God calls us to give over our heart and to give it all to him and to move forward through that hurt, through that brokenness, whatever it may be in your life. Listen to this story of missionaries to Africa that took place several years ago, and think about how you would have reacted to this situation in your life. One morning, all was quiet, except for the sounds of rusty old taxis in the distance and the barking of stray dogs. A few goats moseyed about the empty dirt streets, picking through the trash. As usual, the butcher was one of the few people out this time of day. As he began to work, the butcher noticed a red car parked on the other side of the street. It had been there since early morning, when everyone had come for prayer at the mosque. He heard the familiar rumbling of a truck as it pulled up outside the training center across the street. The tall American, Stephen Foreman, climbed out and walked around the passenger door to get his things. He greeted the butcher with his usual friendly grin and hello. The butcher was always struck by the kindness of this American, who treated him with as much respect as he did those of the upper class. He smiled back and waved. The doors on the red car opened. Two young men emerged and walked toward Stephen, the missionary. The butcher paused as the three began talking back and forth, their voices getting louder and becoming more heated. Then the two young men grabbed the American by the arms and tried to pull him into the car. Stephen resisted and overpowered the first man, holding him to the ground with his foot, struggling with the second man. Another man emerged from the red car to help him in the attempt to overcome the American. The butcher saw everything that was going on and saw the danger and began to run to Stephen's aid. But before he could take three steps, he stopped, frozen in his tracks by the sound of echoing between the cement walls of the mosque and the training center. Pop, pop, pop. Gunshots shattered the silence. This young American missionary lay dead in the street, murdered by Al-Qaeda extremists. The next morning, the family went and visited with friends. One friend, Amir, embraced the family and said, "I have always dealt with fear, not only for my life, but for the lives of my wife and children. I tell you, the fear is gone. Did you know that Stephen had come to see me only days before his death and sat right here in this room? He was very sick with fever, but he had an unusual sense of joy in his voice when he told me, 'I don't know the number of my days. I could die tomorrow, whether I die by illness or at the hands of extremists. Whatever it is, I do not know my days.' We must obey God while we still have breath in our lungs before we no longer have a chance." So many people couldn't understand the heart of the family. As many asked, "But how can you forgive them? Why would you forgive them? How can you even return to this country that took your husband's life?" "The answer is easy," the wife said. "I don't know the man who killed my husband, but I know you. And I know the people of this beloved country. I love you, and more importantly, I serve a God who loves you passionately. Our life testimony is that we died before we came here." Isn't that a great story by this wife? We died before we came here. That's the question I ask for us today. Are you dead yet? Dead to yourself, dead to your desires, dead to your sins and struggles? Are you alive in Christ. My desire is that when people see your life and they see my life, they see Christ in Christ alone. To live without purpose is worse than dying. To live without purpose is worse than dying. You know, this story of these missionaries convicts me and it urges me and pushes me to do more and just realize that, you know what? Everything we have in life can be taken away like that. But if we're living for Christ and living for God, then those things, it's okay if they disappear in those moments because they were God's to begin with. If you would, could I have every head bowed and eye closed as we pray? God, as believers, if we aren't sacrificial and loving to the broken and hurting, then who should be? If we aren't generous in our time and resources, then who should be? If we aren't sharing the good news of a resurrected Savior, then who is, Lord? God, convict us and use us this week to do your ministry. This coming year, use us in ways that you haven't used us before. God, I pray this for myself and for this church. I pray that you will use us in a way that the devil has a reason to come after us. Let us be doing something so great for your kingdom that we have to be out of our comfort zone, but right in your will. Let us live with confidence, just like these missionaries, Lord, living for the one and only Jesus Christ. Lord, give us boldness and strength as we seek to live a faithful life for you. God, use us today, use us this week, use us this upcoming year. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.